Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Thinking Outside the Box with me, Dr. Susan Starler. So last week, we had our wonderful Dr. Cass on the show with us, and she was explaining some of the things that she's going to be talking about at our open house, which will be next Thursday, August 27th, around 6 o'clock. Remember, this is a free event. It will be at 12301 Wilshire Boulevard, and there is free parking after 6. That suite number is suite 615. So please RSVP to 310-571-1212 and join us then. Our topic, we are going to be talking about stress and the way stress can make you sick. Dr. Hyla Cass is going to specifically be focusing on her new book, which is titled The Addictive Brain, and talking to you about various different things that you can do naturally in order to help cut down some of the popular addictions today, which, although you may not recognize them as addictions, are addictions to alcohol, addictions to sugar, addictions to different kinds of food, addictions to different behaviors and activities, things that make you feel good. A lot of times, these addictions are preceded by various odds and sundry different kinds of stress. And stress can make you sick. And what does stress mean to the body? Well, how do you recognize, first of all, what a stress-related issue is? You know, stress can manifest itself in any one of a number of ways, including anxiety, fatigue. You can get migraines. You can get acne, eczema. You can have hair loss. You can have constipation. You can have diarrhea. You can have stomach issues. You can have stomach aches, stomach bloating, gassiness. You can just be downright cranky. Stress can manifest itself in many different ways, and those are just a few of the different ways. In my world, it all goes down to a great degree, how your stomach is first affected. Many of the natural neural hormones, which are called neurotransmitters, that can actually modulate the different kinds of symptoms that you may be experiencing from stress, begin to be formed in the gut. So when you have a stressful event, what does the body do? There are parts of the nervous system, and I know we've spoken about this a time before, but for those of you who are listening now for the first time, parts of the nervous system modulate how your stomach responds to the things you take into it. So, for example, if you're in a stressful situation or if you're dealing with the stresses of the workday and you're going, that's a sympathetic response, part of the autonomic nervous system, and it is called fight or flight response. When that happens, you shunt off blood supply to the gut and you divert it to your legs, your arms, and your heart in order to prepare the body to fight or flee. Now, what happens when you should be sitting down and relaxing and eating a nice meal? Well, then you're in parasympathetic mode. That's also part of the autonomic nervous system. And the parasympathetic part is rest, relax, repair, and digest. So if you are constantly trying to eat while you are stressed, then you have limited digestive enzymes going into the gut. You have limited blood flow to help with absorption and breakdown. And what you get is putrefaction of your proteins. You get fats that go rancid. And you get sugars or carbohydrates that ferment. So what does that mean? So now you're in fight or flight mode and you're rushing to get a deadline done and you've just had, a tuna sandwich. Well, okay, so you're dumping that tuna, which probably has mayonnaise in it, and there, a tuna sandwich is a perfect example. You've got the tuna for the protein, you've got the sandwich, which are the carbohydrates, and you've got your mayonnaise, which are your fats. So all of that is being chomped down and dumped into your gut, which says, oh, I can't deal with this. So what are you going to get? You're going to get maybe bloating. You may get reflux. You may get tummy ache. You may get gassiness. You're certainly going to be more tired because your body is not ready to accept that food. And when all those things happen, you get inflammation. And then when you get inflammation, that can lead to leaky gut. And when that happens, all those undigested food particles and anything else that you've breathed in, any one of the hundreds of thousands of toxins that you breathe in on a daily basis, can go right into the bloodstream and create an imbalance in the system, which can lead to migraines, it can lead to anxiety, it can lead to fatigue, it can lead to acne, it can lead to eczema, it can lead to hair loss, it can certainly lead to constipation or diarrhea. So what are we going to do for that? How are we going to minimize and manage the stress? Well, what we're going to do is get to the core of the issue. We're going to try to find the main cause. So if your main cause is emotionally related stress, well, we need to talk about some lifestyle changes. Maybe before you sit down to have something to eat, you take a walk around the block and just sort of let the worries of the day go away, and then you can sit down and have a nice meal, even if it's 15 or 20 minutes, without thinking about what needs to be done absolutely right now next. Stressors come in all different kinds of shapes and forms. So, for example, if you have a stress on the body that's the result of a pathogen, for example, you've got a bacterial infection or a viral infection, parasites or fungal infections, then those need to be dealt with. And a lot of times those can be helped by boosting the body's immune system, which, guess what, yes, is decreased when you're under stress. And there are foods that can help you with that. There are supplements that can help to boost the immune system. Other kinds of stressors can include things like heavy metals or chemical toxins. So let's talk about those brand new cars that everybody likes to get. Well, there's always going to be a period of time where you're outgassing from the lovely leather smells or the fake leather vinyl smells or any of the new ingredients that they put on anything new that they've put into the cars. Those go into the body, and they can create an enormous amount of stress, which can start in the gut or start in the lungs and lead you to getting headaches or rashes or fatigue and hair loss. There's a lot of things that those can do, and there are ways that we can naturally offset the negative effects of those as well. Another kind of stressor could be scar tissue. Anybody who's had a scar tissue or an operation, especially one that approaches or crosses the midline, it can disrupt the neural flow of all your meridians in your body. And what does that mean? Well, we are going to cover more of that on our Thursday evening lecture. So the last one I'd like to talk about is food, or what pretends to be food for our body. A lot of times people are out there eating things that just are not recognized by the body as food. One of those things is pasteurized milk. A lot of people have milk allergies and don't realize it, but a lot of bodies just can't absorb or do anything with the milk that we are getting that's pasteurized and homogenized because it doesn't recognize it as food. Your body goes, what is this? And it creates inflammation. It can create skin problems. It can create migraines. It can create stomach problems. It can create anxiety. It can create fatigue. You sort of get the theme that's going on here. Anything can cause anything. Any kind of stressor can affect you and make you, quote, sick. We need to get down to what the core cause is so that we can appropriately help you with that in whatever way that looks for you. Lifestyle changes, diet changes, supplementation. Occasionally, sometimes you might need medication. Sometimes when you have a parasite, you need a little bit of extra help. But those are all the different types of things that we need to be able to find out so that we can help you move forward and get past this. So just a few hints. What can you do nutritionally to get started on reversing the damage that can be caused by any number of stressors? Well, one of the common things that people look at are switching to an anti-inflammatory diet and also concentrating on antioxidant foods and or supplementations. And why? Because a lot of times when you've got inflammation, you can create what are called free radicals in the body. And antioxidants and antioxidant foods help to nullify, neutrify, that's not the right word, they help to nullify and eliminate those free radicals that are in the body that are causing some of the problems, or at least contributing to some of the causal issues. So from an anti-inflammatory diet standpoint, you want to avoid those things that create inflammation, like dairy can create inflammation, sugar can create inflammation, gluten-related grains can create inflammation. For some people, foods that are considered nightshades, like tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, can create inflammation. If somebody has a predisposition for gout, then foods that are high in, well, red meats, for example, or red wines, those can contribute to the problem. And what we want to do is be sure that you know that you can, even if it's just eliminating those foods that cause issues, if you know that they're there and you know that they're causing a problem, take them out of your diet. You don't need to keep them there. And once your body calms down, then you can slowly start to reintroduce something. And if you don't have a reaction, you know you're safe. You haven't hit your tilt point. And if you do have a reaction, then you've hit your tilt point, and maybe you always will. For that, we have blood tests. I do muscle testing. There's lots of different ways that we can help your body determine what should and shouldn't be consumed in order to help to make you feel better and contribute to your body's overall health. So antioxidants, there are certainly a plethora of those. Some of them are something as simple as vitamin C. And any food rich in vitamin C, any of your green leafy vegetables, any of your fruits, can certainly help with antioxidants. And then we have things like vitamin E, which is an oil that is a very strong antioxidant. There are things called proanthocyanidins, and those are your pycnogenols, your pine bark extract, or your grapeseed extract. Those are very, very good antioxidants. CoQ10 is a really good antioxidant. We didn't even address the cardiovascular issue yet, but CoQ10 is a really good antioxidant for the heart. And for anybody who's out there taking statin drugs because you've been told that your cholesterol is too high, and so your doctor has given you statin drugs, please make sure that you're taking some CoQ10 in order to help offset the potential negative side effects of the statin medications. What else can help for you? Sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are a really good antioxidant. Pecans are a really good antioxidant. Some carrots are good antioxidants. We have lots of wonderful antioxidants. And what do most of these antioxidants live in? They live in your fruits and vegetables. So if you want to go on a really good program, think paleo. Think we're going to have lean meats, and we're going to have lots of fruits and veggies. And there are dozens of paleo cookbooks out there. So that is my summary for today. We're going to be going over a lot of these things on Thursday next week, and we are going to be going over them in much greater detail, in addition to letting our wonderful Dr. Cass highlight the addictive brain and what you can do for them. So thank you for joining me today. I hope this answered some questions. I hope it gave you some hints and things that you can do on your own. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the office next Thursday at 6 and 12301 Wilshire Boulevard, Suite 615. Thank you for joining me. Again, remember to think outside the box. This is Dr. Susan Starler saying goodbye for now. Take good care.